Welcome to the first episode of I Am Zonian. I want to tell the story of Panama and the Canal Zone. It's hard to pick a place to start, but every story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. In 1904, the United States of America began the task of moving 232,353,000 cubic yards of earth in the tiny country of Panama, which had recently won its independence from Colombia. By the ingenuity of man, a canal was formed. Two oceans were joined where two continents met. Surrounding the Panama Canal was a 10-mile-wide swath of land known as the Canal Zone, and the people who lived and worked there were called Zonians. But to truly tell the story, we have to go back, way back. We need to start thinking of time in the geological sense. 20 million years ago, North and South America were neighbors, separated by a single ocean. Imagine two large land masses separated by sea, and with the patient will of Mother Nature, tectonic plates deep under the surface slowly grind against each other. The Pacific plate slowly slid under the Caribbean plate. Volcanoes erupted and birthed islands. Mud and sediment collected around them. Over the course of time, estimated to be around 17 million years, what once was two now became one. The land masses were joined. The once wide ocean was pinched off at its belly and was separated by a monumental collision so slow that the human mind cannot perceive it. Right there at that point, an isthmus was formed. The Isthmus of Panama. Scientists consider this event to be one of the most important geological events in the past 60 million years. An ocean was cut in two. The tiny Isthmus of Panama affected the climate around the world. By cutting the flow of water off, ocean and weather patterns changed. Cool air and warm water created currents. The land bridge changed the biodiversity on land and interrupted the commingling of animals in the sea. One tiny strip of land that rose up out of the ocean over the course of 17 million years would set about a course of events that will lead to the end of this story, the fun of which is in the telling. How do we know when this happened? It seems like such an impossible thing to be able to calculate. I'll tell you the story of just one way. Fast forward to the construction of the canal. The land was flooded to create an artificial lake, and islands were formed by human hands. These newly formed islands isolated their inhabitants. Fast forward a little more, a scientist decides to study the difference between the frogs on these islands and discovers similarities and differences that build a timetable of when the frogs from North America and South America started mingling. This adds to the collective time chart, and it is posited that the Isthmus of Panama may have been formed earlier than we thought, in geological years, of course. To tell the story of Panama, we have to talk about a land united. We have to speak about vast quantities of water, fresh, salty, and brackish. Tropical rainstorms that end as quickly as they begin. Surging rivers that feed into the ocean. We have to speak about tropical vegetation wielding the entire spectrum of the color gamut. But the principal color is green. So many different greens. A Western eye might describe a dozen shades. His eye is not able to discern the immense diversity of green. He has a few words to describe them. But to the people who live in this rainforest, who have lifetimes and generations of ancestors living amid this greenery, they have over 100 words to describe the different versions of green. A travel writer once wrote about his experience in crossing the Isthmus of Panama in 1849. This is his first encounter with Panama and its mightiest river, the Chagres. There is nothing in the world comparable to these forests. No description conveys an idea of the splendid overplus of vegetable life. The river, broad and with a swift current of the sweetest water I ever drank, winds between the walls of foliage that rise from its very surface. All the gorgeous growths of an eternal summer are mingled in one impenetrable mass so that the eye is bewildered. From the rank jungles of cane and gigantic lilies, and the thickets of strange shrubs which line the water, rise the trunks of the mango, the ceiba, the cocoa, the sycamore, and the superb palm. Plantains take root in the banks, hiding the soil with their leaves, shaken and split into immense plumes by the wind and rain. The zapote, with the fruit the size of a man's head, the gourd tree, other wonders, attract the eye on all sides. Blossoms of crimson, purple, yellows, of forms and magnitude unknown in the north. Flocks of parakeets, brilliant butterflies circle like blossoms blown away. A spike of scarlet flowers thrust from a heart of a convolution of unfolding leaves. Creepers and parasites drop trains and streamers of fragrance from boughs that shoot halfway across the river. All outline of the landscape is lost under this deluge of vegetation. No trace of the soil is to be seen. Lowland and highland are the same. A mountain is but a higher swell of this mass of verdure. The sharp, clear lines of our scenery at home are here wanting. What shape the land would be if cleared, you cannot tell. You gaze upon the scene before you with a never-sated delight till your brain aches with the sensation, and you close your eyes, overwhelmed with the thought that these wonders have been here from the beginning, that year after year takes away no blossom or leaf that is not replaced. But the sublime mystery of growth and decay is renewed forever.